This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. COVID-19 numbers are up this week in the state. Over 3,500 cases reported Thursday and 63 in Yuma County, a number not seen in the region for some time. To find out more about the current state of COVID-19 in the county and measures to mitigate its spread, I spoke with Diana Gomez, director of the Yuma County Public Health Services District. We've spoken with Gomez several times over the last year or so, and always with an ear toward the bad news about COVID-19. Today, to kick things off, I asked where there might be some good news to share about COVID-19 in Yuma County.
Okay, well, you know, we've been talking a lot about vaccine availability and, you know, how people can, we encourage people to ask questions if they're still hesitant about getting the vaccine, because I think it's important to have some dialogue around that particular area. But I wanted to highlight with you, for example, as far as our cases are trending, you see that they're going up. But for example, in the beginning of the pandemic, we saw a lot of the cases among the people that were 65 and over, and we knew that 95% of all hospitalizations and deaths were in the age group 55 and over. Those age groups have a really high vaccination rate right now. So to give you perspective, I'm going to share some data. So for example, in the 65 and over, we have 71% of our population here in Yuma County in that age group vaccinated. We only reported 23 new cases. Compare that to the under 20 group, where only 20% of that eligible population has been vaccinated, and we reported, unfortunately, 279. So it's not necessarily all positive news, but it does focus on the fact that vaccinations are working and they are helping. So to see those numbers go down in those cases where that we have such a high vaccination rate is definitely encouraging.
Well, let's talk about the current state of affairs. Numbers out today have more than 3,500 cases statewide, 63 here in Yuma, a number we haven't seen here in a while.
Correct. Correct. We were trending downward, and I think, you know, we had made some big inroads as far as, you know, driving down that positivity rate down, having the number of infections down. We are in a much better informed position right now, but in many ways, we're in a much more complicated situation. You know, as we try to navigate, you know, we're going back to work, we're going back to school. And so, again, you know, a reminder to people that, you know, we do continue to encourage you to have a layered approach to protecting yourself. And if you're going to be, for example, in an indoor crowded setting, I realize that masks are a divisive issue, but we still recommend the use of masks in those instances.
Masks and vaccines have definitely become political issues, but you have no choice but to respond to this virus as a public health crisis. How difficult does that political rhetoric and discourse make messaging for you?
Well, I think for us, it's important to, again, acknowledge, you know, when people have concerns and people reach out, it's important to have that dialogue open. It's also important to not treat things in the absolute. From a public health perspective, our job is to make sure we get accurate information to people in a timely fashion. And one of the things that I hear often from people is, well, you know, the guidance changed again. Well, sometimes it has to do that. This is a novel virus, and we're still learning a lot about it. And so we're working with a virus that's highly adaptive and very effective. This last iteration of it, the Delta variant, is very effective at replicating, which makes it much more transmissible. And so, yes, we have to adapt and change our strategies, and sometimes that means updating the guidance. And that's no different than if, you know, you're facing, like, on the playing field, and I'm not trying to minimize anything, but when you go into to face an opponent, you adjust your strategy. You don't go in there with one play. And as the game progresses, you have to, and you learn more, you adapt. So although I recognize that that's frustrating, I think it's important to realize that it's all part of what we're learning, and it's important that we share that updated guidance with people.
You said something interesting to the county board last week I want to follow up on. Despite all the coverage of this issue, I have in my ear all day, every day, and I haven't heard anyone describe the use of masks quite like you did. You said, and this was the, I'm going to read the quote from the Yuma Sun. If it's inaccurate, please let me know. You said masks remain a non-invasive, non-pharmaceutical way of protecting primarily people who are unvaccinated, but also people who are vaccinated who may get a breakthrough infection or testing positive and possibly transmitting the virus. It's a very non-invasive, very effective tool. The two terms I had not ever heard used before were non-pharmaceutical, non-invasive, and I have to say, I found it sort of on the surface convincing.
Well, I mean, there's no side effect from that, correct? It's something very simple, very accessible to people that they can do to protect themselves and protect others. We know, for example, you just heard probably, you know, you follow the news, obviously, that there was booster shots recommended for people that have severe immunocompromised issues. So, again, we know that we can expect a level of immunity, even with vaccination. No tool is 100%. A mask is a simple, effective, and, again, non-invasive way, a non-pharmaceutical way to protect yourself and protect others.
You mentioned something there about the boosters. How prepared is the county to give booster shots?
So we are in a very fortunate position here in the United States and definitely here in the county that we have an ample supply. And so we are ready to continue to provide. Obviously, we want to make sure that people who haven't gotten vaccinated at all have access, but we want to reassure everybody that there will be ample supply, even as we anticipate our farm worker community coming back and our winter visitor community and the provision of boosters. So we anticipate being adequately prepared and having more than enough supply. Again, you can get your vaccine not just here. I mean, we have clinics here Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 11:30, and I think we're adding some afternoon hours, but they're also available at various local providers, pharmacies, and other entities where you have extended hours as well.
You mentioned there farm workers and winter visitors who will be descending upon the region in the next couple of months. How big of an imperative is that in terms of trying to get a hold of both vaccination rates and maybe even masking policies?
So for our farm worker community, we know that obviously it's important. They work in very close proximity to each other. They work, and if you look at our farm workers that are out there, for example, harvesting, you've seen that for a long time. They actually pioneered that protective equipment. And if you've ever had an opportunity to see one of the ag tours where they're actually growing and harvesting things in the field, you'll see that they already wore a lot of that protective equipment. On our end, from a public health perspective, it's making sure that we provide that information, that they have access to PPE, that in the case of vaccinations, that those vaccinations are available, whether it means going to the specific work site, which we've done before, or setting up a specific clinic, because we realize that those hours aren't necessarily the traditional 8 to 5 hours. And we realize that some of them might be working in remote locations. And again, we want to make sure that they're protected so that they're protected while they're at work and that they are protecting their families and coworkers as well.
So you'll need to be really flexible about how maybe you deliver those vaccines to a kind of a different community.
Yes, accessibility, it should not be a barrier. So location might not be a barrier, should not be a barrier. So sometimes we need to go to the site, and we are more than happy to do that. I know that some of our community partners like Sunset have done that as well. So again, if there's anybody out there that would like to host a clinic on site, please reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to coordinate that with you.
You mentioned some stats earlier about the vaccination rate for some older Yuma County residents. The county vaccination rate is at about 52.3%. That compares well to other counties in the state and, frankly, to other parts of the country. Not obviously that 70% mark we heard so much about in the past. What's your assessment of where the county stands on vaccinations? Do you think that's a pretty good rate?
So I think we made some really big inroads early on, and then it slowed down. We have seen an uptick in response and inquiries and people actually coming in to get vaccinated as we see the Delta variant become more prevalent. I think obviously we still have a long way to go. And again, I realize that people, you know, we reached out to people. We've had people call us and have very specific concerns about the vaccine and questions that they had. And so I think it's important to have that dialogue, hear those concerns, answer those questions, because for somebody that may be unsure, have hesitations, maybe it's just an opportunity to, you know, have those specific questions answered that makes them more confident and reassures them that, you know, getting the vaccine is something that's the best thing they can do to protect themselves and their family.
Politics is obviously one concern around the entire COVID-19 issue, but so is the possibility that people are getting a bit desensitized. I know you mentioned that in your meeting with the county last week.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, more than a year and a half into the pandemic, I think people just sometimes you hear the numbers in the background and it's just people are, it's the same thing. It seems like the same thing over and over. And I think none of us were prepared to be dealing with this type of pandemic. It's a worldwide pandemic, and until those numbers go down across the globe, we'll continue to see a pandemic. So again, the best thing we can do is to continue to inform the public, answer those questions, have the dialogue, and I think that's important, have that two-way communication, because we need to continue on our end on public health, making sure that people have access to the resources, the tools, and the information they need to do what they can do to protect their health and wellness, as well as that of their families.
And of course, great information available both on the Yuma County site and the AZDHS site.
Yes. And so again, another reminder to, seek out that information, make sure it's coming from, from a reliable source. Also reach out to your healthcare provider. If you have some specific questions regarding it, an underlying medical condition or a concern related to something of that nature.
And we'll provide a number and a link to the county resources on our website. Diana Gomez, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. We'll be right back.